This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday, the 12th of August, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting from the Sheffield Live studio in the workstation above the showroom cinema in central Sheffield on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. This programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. Talking about podcasts, if you missed the show from Friday the 5th of August, which featured Jackie Hewitt-Main, the founder and chief exec of the Cascade Foundation, alongside beneficiary Dale Easter, talking about dyslexia, working with people with learning difficulties and with ex-offenders, and with RJ and Endeavour, our other guests on the programme, then of course you can catch up, you can listen to the podcast of that programme from the 5th of August on the Business Live section of the shows page on the Sheffield Live website. You can also find a host of exciting music and other shows to listen to and enjoy. But what's coming up in today's programme? Well, we have a very exciting show for you today. We have Elizabeth Chasser and Laura Bennett, and they're going to be talking about work that they're doing with Gaza Sky Geeks. And that's coming up later in the show at about 9:30. Before that, we're talking with Richard Osborne of Business From The Workshop. And lots to talk about there too. But just before we turn to Richard, quick reminder of a couple of things coming up. The deadline is fast approaching to enter the Sheffield Business Awards. So if you think you deserve to win, then, well, you've got to be in them to win them. You can find out more at sheffieldbusinessawards.org.uk, where you can see all the award categories. The awards take place on the 1st of December 2016, but your milestone is the 12th of September. Sounds like you've got lots of time. Well, of course, it takes lots of effort to put in a great awards application and to gather all the evidence. So if you want to enter those awards, then get your act together now so that you can do so. And also another quick reminder, the Community Business Fund is open for applications until the end of August. And if you're running a community enterprise, there are some grants available. You can find out more if you go to the Power to Change website, where you can see all the criteria and see whether that's for you. But let's turn now to our first guest of today. Delighted to have in the studio with me, Richard Osborne of From The Workshop. Richard,
good morning.
Morning. Hi. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
So you got in touch with Sheffield Live.
Yes.
We encourage listeners to make contact with this programme.
Yes.
If you think that there's something we should be talking about or you'd like an interview and so on. And, and evidence indeed that if you email Sheffield Live, you might end up
it
on
works.
The radio.
It works. Absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. So thanks for coming in today, Richard. Mm. Your business that we're talking about, first of all, is From The Workshop. You have another business as well.
That's right, yes.
But I took a look at your website because you're making some absolutely beautiful wooden products, 3D carved maps,
yes,
and a delightful mapping box. You're running a campaign on Kickstarter
That's
as well.
That's right, yeah.
Where did the inspiration come from to put together what you're doing?
Well, most of the things that I end up making actually start with a request. They normally start with a commission. And one of my friends said to me, I don't suppose you could make a box for my dad for his maps because it's his birthday coming up. And my friend Hetty asked me if I could make some. I was like, yeah, I suppose so. I can sort that out for you. And I made this box. And then I just noticed more and more people commenting, oh, yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. Could I have one? Maybe for my friend or so forth. And that led to me starting to make a few more, doing a few more designs and thinking, well, yeah, okay, you know, this is a really good thing. Quite simple, maybe compared to some of the other products that I've been making. But actually, I realized that it really appealed to a lot of different people.
Well, you're in the right place to do it, of course, with the Peak District on the doorstep of Sheffield.
Yeah.
But people who this appeals to, are they Sheffielders or are you selling worldwide or UK?
Well, starting there with the worldwide side, certainly countrywide, I've had orders from all over the UK. The unique thing about this box is that people can ask me for a specific area, maybe their favourite mountain or place they've been to visit in the countryside, but it might be their town where they live, and I can create a personalised map that goes onto the front of the box. So we actually engrave that onto the front of the box. So it means that each one that we make is different and unique to that person, and obviously that means that the appeal is really great for people as a specific gift for an occasion, that kind of thing. So actually, people from all over the country. I'd say maybe the maps that I've made to go onto the boxes, you can cluster them together and you can maybe predict what those areas might be. Lake District, Snowdonia, national parks, beautiful areas often are the most popular maps that I've done. And each time I design a new one, I add it to the list. So I've kind of got a range of, if you like, pre-made maps that I've already got ready that people can choose from as well. So,
indeed. And it must be very intricate to create these then.
It was a technological conundrum to start with, and once I'd cracked that process, I've got fairly slick process now that I can go through. I mean, I still spend probably between 20 minutes and half an hour designing each map for each person, and I use mapping data to build up the layers and to sort of create that drawing, if you like, to suit each person's particular box. Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in some ways this is perhaps less intricate than some of the other things that you
yes.
do. But of course, it's a perfect size. It's a great idea as a gift for someone who enjoys walking and enjoys getting out into the into the Peak District or into the other national parks as well, as you say. And you're actually promoting them through a Kickstarter campaign as well at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard of Kickstarter, it's a website where businesses raise funding if they've got a particular need to maybe boost their facilities or raise some funds in some way. So we're looking to just boost our map box process by improving our equipment a little bit, getting some new equipment that will help us to make them a bit more easily. But essentially, we decided to start a Kickstarter campaign, put the map box on there, and see if we can raise interest and get people to pledge. And what happens is you can make a pledge of lots of different amounts, any amount really, on there, and you actually get a promise of a reward. So essentially what you're saying is you will promise to give anything from a pound to maybe £50 if you wanted to, but you will only give that if the Kickstarter campaign reached its funding target within the specified period. So we've got about 2 weeks left on our campaign. And if that reaches its funding target, then all of those people who have pledged money will give money, and we will then in turn grant their rewards. We'll make them a map box, or we'll make them one of the other rewards that we've actually got listed on there. So you can have a look on there to see what they are.
And aside from the map box that you can get hold of through that campaign, as you say, there are a number of other rewards. In effect, it's helping you to get customer pledges up front, you can meet demand. But as you say, you are an established business. This isn't a startup
going
on here.
Yeah,
but this is helping in terms of getting the word out about Mapboxes.
Yeah, that's
as well.
Right. It's a bit of a boost. It's a way of us getting out there. We are making them already, but actually, you know, there are some limitations with our process. So it will help us to be able to do that investing, and also it gets it out there. It raises publicity. If it gets to the point where our Kickstarter campaign doesn't reach its target, I'll be very sad, but at the same time we will have got our project out there and lots of people would have heard about it, and that's the main thing really. It's just getting it out there on as many channels as possible.
Yeah, quite. And thanks to Kickstarter with its worldwide appeal.
Yes.
Obviously it's running in the UK, but it's Kickstarter runs all over the world. Have you picked up interest then in the other products that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and from all over the world. In fact, it surprised me actually straight away, people making a pledge from USA, Germany, Switzerland. I think there was one from Australia, so that's quite exciting. But also it's led to a little bit more traffic to our website, a bit more activity on our Facebook, that kind of thing. It all connects together, and that's the thing these days. You've got to be on the, you've got to be social media savvy and have everything connected together. And you know, that's a challenge. But certainly the Kickstarter's helped with that, getting more people involved, really.
That's great, super. And I'm looking now then at your website as well, alongside your Kickstarter page.
Yeah.
And as we said earlier, on the website, a range of other products and projects, if you like, that you've been commissioned to make and that you offer is extensive. And many of us will be looking at things like the Peak District coffee table, which is has the national park is carved and engraved on a grand coffee table in relief. I mean, that looks amazing.
Yeah, well, clearly that's my favorite, you know, so that's something for me that was a bit of a personal project to take on. I mean, what I've learned, if anything, from this process with the Mapbox is that it's not necessarily what's technologically sophisticated and difficult to make that appeals to people. So when I made that coffee table, it is awesome. And lots of people come into my workshop and see that table in the flesh. And they say, oh, wow, that's absolutely fantastic. You know, that's really, really good. But they don't necessarily want a stonking great coffee table like that with a big relief map in the middle of their living room. So, which is fine. But they can ask me, maybe people have, it's led to some commissions of other types of tables. People said, oh, I want something a bit smaller, or I want something a bit different. So that's fantastic. You know, there is that flexibility, but it has made me realize that just because I've put a lot of work and real head scratcher into a scheme doesn't necessarily mean that that's the one, you know.
Yes, quite indeed. But it showcases what you do and what you're making.
Exactly.
And you're making from beech and from birch. And And so on the website, there are a whole load of other examples of commissions that you do from map coffee table of Sheffield tram stops, well, a Sheffield tram map, a Sheffield map coffee table, not in relief, but with a laser cut map and so on. So you're running the business from your workshop, what have you found to be the biggest challenges in getting your business to where you are now, Richard?
Well, it's been a challenge for me because it's a slightly different type of business to what I have been running. My background is actually, we have a primary business, if you like, that has been building climbing walls, and that business is called Wall Climber. That's a little bit different because that's orientated around projects, big projects, maybe built in schools, leisure centres, that kind of thing. What's been a big challenge for me is getting used to a new type of business, which is essentially product orientated and customer orientated. So liaising with a customer, making a product, sending it out to the customer. That's been new, and it just comes along with its own set of challenges, small scale, but bigger quantities going out of the door sort of thing, and that's been required a bit of an adjustment for me to get used to that type of business.
Yes, I'm sure. And you're running this, as you say, in parallel with your other business,
yes,
Wall Climber. How's that going?
It's going okay. The climbing walls have been a challenge. We've been doing that for about 8 years, and it's been fantastic. We've built climbing walls all over the country. I think it's been made a challenge through a lot of funding cuts, that kind of thing. So schools don't necessarily have the spare cash to spend on something fun and exciting like that necessarily. So actually, from the workshop, the new venture has come out of a need to diversify and plug the gap in terms of our workshop capacity. You need to make new things, keep that running, keep working, really. And that's how it's come about. How that looks in the future with regards to which one will be the major player or not, that remains to be seen. And that's the thing. It's about being flexible and being open to how they will both develop, really.
Because it sounds as though you may have to prioritise one or the other, or be able to start delegating more in terms of systems and processes and setup as you grow both.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Quite exciting time.
It is an exciting time. It's just as I was coming in this morning saying to you, oh, we've got this big climbing wall we're building this week, and it's a big challenge. You know, we're spending all our time on that, but I'm also needing to fulfill orders with map boxes and things. And delegation is the key, as you say, absolutely. I need to be having people who you have to, in a way, hand over the keys to aspects of your business to people to be able to say, okay, you know what, you just go and sort that out for me. And that's really hard as a business owner to do that sometimes.
It is a tough challenge, that, for a lot of business owners. Any tips then
finding the right people? Finding the right people. I mean, I think it's about finding people who share the passion, and they it's not just that they want to come in, clock in and work each day, but people who actually they get it. You know, they see what you're trying to achieve and they're willing to work that extra go that extra mile just to like get things done on a particular day. And I think that's, with a small business, that's really crucial. It's not just getting the person who is capable of doing the job. It's getting the people who are going to come on board as part of the team, really.
Yes, quite. Okay, good. And your business wall climber, and to a great extent, really, the map box business, in terms of making and crafting beautiful pieces out of wood from the workshop.
Yes.
That business. They're both plugged into the outdoor economy here in Sheffield. Yeah. And of course, we're hearing a huge amount about the Outdoor City as a brand now, and the value of the outdoor economy to Sheffield.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
From the point of view of a business owner, do you think there is greater awareness now of the value that the outdoor economy brings to the city? Any requests, if policymakers are listening, if you could wave a magic wand, what would support your business or businesses?
Yeah, I mean, I think things that have helped have been things like the Cliffhanger event we had a few weeks ago. You know, obviously big things that are growing year on year. And I think that the council or the policymakers, whoever the people that be at large there are, year on year, realizing that that's a core part of Sheffield's heritage and Sheffield, the place that Sheffield has. I mean, I certainly have grown up in Sheffield, but the reason I still live in Sheffield is because of the fact that I can get out so easily into beautiful countryside we're surrounded by on this side of the city, and I think that is such an important part of it. As far as how people can improve it policy wise, it's hard to say exactly, but I think just carrying on supporting those events, helping businesses, that not just the big brands that are coming in to sort of get involved in that, but there's lots and lots of small outdoor orientated businesses in Sheffield that are trying to make things work, and I think just continue support for them and those events that help them to get out there, really.
Okay, great. Well, it sounds as though your businesses are thriving and doing really well.
Sounds like it.
Well, obviously, we wish you great success.
Thank
and
you.
Anyone who's listening, who's looking for a fantastic present for someone who likes maps, now knows where to go. Let's just give people a chance to find out more about you.
Yeah.
First of all, your website for From the Workshop.
Yeah.
Do you want to give the address?
Yeah, the website to look at for that is www.fromtheworkshop.co.uk.
Excellent. And from there is a link through to the Kickstarter, which is running on kickstarter.com. Although if you go to Kickstarter, you can search for From the Workshop, the map box, and find out more about the maps as well. And take a look as well, because they really are beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, you're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. And in the studio with me at the moment is Richard Osborne, talking about beautiful map boxes and much, much more. Richard, campaign running on Kickstarter for a couple more weeks. Looks like it's going really well.
Yeah.
So all the best with that. We're going to play a track of music, which is your choice of music.
Yeah. Yeah.
The track is by Bombay Bicycle Club and it is Shuffle. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about why you've chosen it?
Yeah, I love Bombay Bicycle Club. They're a band that I've listened to for a long time, but they're one of those bands where when a new album comes out and you think, oh, is it going to be as good? Oh, I don't know. They always deliver and it keeps evolving. And that's why I like them. I thought this would be a nice bright song to play today.
Well, let's play it now. Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for our weekly programme about business and social enterprise. And if you want to get in touch with this show, you can do so. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter too. Because whether you're starting, running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. Get in touch with your suggestions for topics you think we should cover, your comment on things going on in business and social enterprise, or even a request for an interview or to tell us about someone you feel we should be interviewing. Now, our last guest this morning, you've heard Richard Osborne, and he's been talking about his business From the Workshop and his climbing wall business. And he did just that. He got in touch with Sheffield Live. So do get in touch. You might end up on the radio. Let's turn to our next guest of today. And I was really interested to hear about Google for Entrepreneurs, who founded Gaza Sky Geeks in 2011. They wanted to build a startup movement in a frontier market with strong potential. But at the same time, of course, Gaza has a high density of very well-educated, tech-savvy, eager young professionals who'd like exposure to global markets for their own skills and talents. And Gaza Sky Geeks runs Startup Weekend Gaza. It also runs a popular co-working space. It conducts outreach, but importantly and crucially, it helps to create conditions for the vibrant community there to nurture innovation. And they've started an accelerator connecting startup teams with global resources and volunteers who are helping to transform Gaza's most talented graduates into business leaders. So yesterday I caught up with Elizabeth Chasser and Laura Bennett, who are intending to travel to Gaza to mentor startup teams competing for a place on the Gaza Sky Geeks Accelerator. I wanted to hear more from both Laura and Elizabeth, both of whom have been on this show in the past. Elizabeth talking about Startup Weekend Sheffield, and Laura talking about the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network that she's been a volunteer for. But yesterday I caught up with Laura and Elizabeth to learn more about Gaza Sky Geeks and their plans to go out there at the end of this month. We'll hear from Laura and Elizabeth now. Laura, Elizabeth, thank you very much for joining me today. So you're off to Gaza in September. Tell me about Gaza Sky Geeks, founded by Google for Entrepreneurs in 2011. A little bit more background.
Right. Gaza Sky Geeks is a special program, as you said, that was set up by Google for Entrepreneurs, and it runs an office in Gaza, which has a restricted border for young entrepreneurs with tech skills, with higher education in entrepreneurialism, who just need some support and opportunity to take their skills to the next level.
Okay, super. And you'll be going out there for how long?
Yes, I will be going out there with Laura Bennett for about 6 days. So the boot camp starts on the 1st of September through the 6th of September.
And Elizabeth, you've been out before, haven't you? And Laura, your first time, is that correct?
Yeah, first time to Gaza for me.
Yeah.
Yes, I went last year, yes.
And so, Laura, we'll turn to some of your experience in a moment or two. But Elizabeth, it must have been a very moving experience to have been out there and worked with young entrepreneurs and startups before.
It was an incredible experience, and it was, without a doubt, a life-changing experience. I had done quite a bit of my own research into Gaza and the situation there before I went, but nothing prepared me for the reality of the place, but more importantly, to the spirit of the people. They are so full of hope, highly educated and highly skilled, with very limited opportunities. So what I found was that the place was just a magical combination of people who would welcome you into their homes and into their lives with extreme generosity, an inimitable spirit, and yet we're facing some very challenging circumstances.
And we all know that startups face challenges anyway, but as you say, there are some unique challenging circumstances here. But when you were mentoring people, what were the ways in which you were able to provide concrete support and help last time?
I think one of the key challenges that entrepreneurs and early startups face in Gaza is that they have very limited exposure to markets, certainly to global markets, and understanding the way that a lot of corporations operate that many of us take for granted. So though they had a good education, they had highly sophisticated technical skills, they often didn't have the exposure to real life experience in those sorts of environments that are so valuable to young entrepreneurs to learn how to get on and do well as a business. So as a mentor, bringing my perspective of what that is like, what the reality is like out there, and how best they might be able to exploit some of the contacts they can make now with outside markets, was probably the key issue for me.
Indeed. Okay, great. Thanks. We'll turn back to you in a moment again, then, Elizabeth. Laura, you're going to be going to Gaza for the first time, but you'll be using your skills as a mentor and your expertise and experience in both tech, the startup community, and of course working with both businesses and social enterprises. You've worked at Foundercentric, you've run a social enterprise in Peru, and you've been a mentor and of course part of the Founders Network at Tech North. First of all, what has got you interested enough to want to go with Elizabeth and participate?
It's a couple of things for me. I think it's a really, you know, incredible opportunity to go to a part of the world that you don't normally have access to. I think there's only, 20 visas a year permits that are issued. So an incredible opportunity from that point of view. But from a personal perspective, my background's in international development and social enterprise, and I've always been interested about how you can bring skills to people in challenging environments that are going to help them to better their own lives, you know, increase economic growth in their communities. So this is the first time really that I've been able to mesh those two interests of mine, the development side of things and also the business entrepreneurial side of things. So from that point of view, yeah, incredibly excited to be going out to Gaza.
And that is very difficult in terms of bringing the skills together along with the support in a way that respects people's position without coming across in what we might call a patronising mm-hmm. manner. Yeah. And I know you're quite thoughtful on this in terms of what you've written on your own blog, your own website about mm-hmm. it. How should the international development community better serve people it works with then?
That's a big question. I think having spent time working in developing countries, and I don't like that term, but we'll just use it as shorthand, you know, one of the mistakes that's often made is that patronising viewpoint that, you know, I can go over there and, you know, save the world. And it's just not true, obviously. There's a great deal of expertise and talent within people all over the world, and sometimes that takes a different form to what we might be used to. But obviously, having spoken to Elizabeth, I'm really excited to meet the entrepreneurs out there. And I really think it's the thing that I try and remember is it's a form of exchange. You know, what can I bring, and what can the entrepreneurs that we'll be working with, what can they bring, and how can we learn from each other? And that sounds very simplistic and idealistic, but I've seen it work in action. Having run a social enterprise in Peru, we relied very much on volunteers. And I was speaking with that social enterprise just last night, actually. And the key difference is if you've got volunteers with really valuable skills to impart, that's incredibly valuable. It cannot be overstated how valuable that is. If you just have someone who's coming out to, you know, try and help and do some stuff but not really got anything much to contribute, that's, you know, a different ball game altogether. And I think volunteering can be incredibly powerful and useful if it's done in the right way and if it's embedded in an organisation that has the sort of sustainability and ethos and mission behind it that Gaza Sky Geeks does. So they have a very clear mission. They want to, you know, bring education and skills to incredibly talented people who are missing some of the opportunities that we might have here. How can we, you know, bring our expertise to just help push that forward a bit more? So that's, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works.
Interesting indeed. It certainly will be. Great stuff. Now, Elizabeth, turning back to you, you've been on this program in the past. You talked about Startup Weekend in Sheffield on the show. And aside from this project, of course, you are a founder yourself of tech businesses, startups. Do you think that the environment in the UK is now, and in Sheffield, is now more supportive of tech businesses and startups than it was, say, a couple of years ago?
Well, I'm quite new to this whole arena, so I've only been in a couple of years myself. So prior to that, I couldn't really say. But just in the short time that I've been in Sheffield and doing this new endeavor for me, working in tech startups, I've seen an incredible amount of support come out of the community. There are so many different people, either on an individual level, on a program level, on a government-backed level, who are all wanting us to succeed as a community. And I see it time and time again. There are different ways that people put that support out there into the community, whether it's individuals sharing things on Facebook forums or on their websites or setting up gatherings in person networks a couple of times a month or something. It feels incredibly vibrant, and much more so just when I arrived 2 years ago. And I think there's certainly a lot of pride in the northern communities, because we want to see each other do well. We want to see ourselves as a community highlighted for the incredible things that we're doing and the tech companies that are coming out of here. So I can only speak for the past few years, but just in that time, I think it's shown an incredible improvement and continues to grow.
Great. And we've talked about Google and their support for Girls Sky Geeks, and they've been supporting the program since 2011. It would be great if we saw more tech firms involved in this kind of support. Do you think that's likely to happen on an international level?
I don't see why not. I think the community is certainly willing. The drive is there. It's how we coordinate the opportunities to make it as easy as possible for different companies, businesses, individuals to play a role and to contribute what they can. I know that Gaza Sky Geeks has made an incredible amount of links to startup communities in Silicon Valley, in California, in Berlin, and in other places in the world, Qatar. And they continue to want to reach out to those communities and learn from those vibrant places that already really do have it together quite well. And I think the northern startup communities here in the UK are the same. And I don't see there's any reason why we can't be just as wonderful at it.
Great. And before you head out, do you get an idea of the challenges faced by the specific people you're going to meet and their businesses? Or do you start learning about their businesses, their startups, only when you actually meet them?
I think it'll depend on how much exposure they've already had within Gaza Sky Geeks. So some teams will be newly forming within the boot camp week.
Yep.
And some teams will be turning up who might have gotten some peripheral support from Gaza Sky Geeks in the past. And who knows, some of those teams might be teams that I would have worked with during the startup weekend that I volunteered with last year, who have continued to work together. So we should get team profiles before we go out there, and we'll be able to do a bit of background reading about them, and it'll say a bit about how long they've been together and how far they are in their process. And I'm sure there'll be a range of challenges for each of them. And then we can go from there.
Excellent. And will you be checking in then with people you met last year? It sounds as though that you probably will.
Absolutely. And even more so, we've kept up with each other over the past year. The people I met in Gaza, and I think this goes for all Gazans, not just those entrepreneurs who were in the tech community, they are extremely good at keeping up on social media and through electronic methods, because they have to, because otherwise they would be incredibly isolated. So one of the things that I think is important for listeners to know about is that when we go and tell people in Gaza that we meet about our Sheffield, Manchester, and other northern communities, the Gazans will also go on and share that with their networks, and they are networked into thousands and thousands of people across the globe in places like Silicon Valley and Berlin and so on and so forth. So the word does get out about all the support that we bring with us, not just individually, but from our communities.
Yes, it is plugging in a community, isn't it, as well? Fantastic. Okay, so the cost to do this are considerable. You mentioned the word volunteering there, and it's really important, I think, for listeners to understand how this works, because it is a voluntary program. Gaza Sky Geek's not-for-profit organisation relying on international volunteers. Laura, Elizabeth, you are international volunteers, and you have to fund your own way there, don't you?
Yes, we do.
and Gaza, of course, is an environment with risk and with uncertainty as well, and restrictions therefore on travel. Laura, you mentioned earlier there are only about 20 visas granted per year to do anything like this. So, and so that means flights are expensive, accommodation's expensive. And you need to take equipment. So what does it all add up to?
Well, that's a good question. I bought my flights last night. So the part of the reason it's expensive are for the restrictions that you've mentioned, but also the fact that the situation changes quite, you know, very quickly. So we're hoping to be going out there in a matter of weeks' time, but it may all change and, we might have to cancel our flights, all the rest of it. So there's those sort of expenses that add up. We're looking to fundraise at the moment to get some support to go out there. Obviously, our motivations for going out there are, individual. We would be doing this anyway because we both passionately believe in this opportunity, but any support that we can get is also gratefully received. Having worked with volunteers before and knowing, that they fundraise, having been on the receiving end of then managing those volunteers, it's been an absolute godsend to have them. So I'm hoping that, that will also be the same case for us. Hopefully we can be representative of the community that we're coming from in Sheffield and the wider northern region. Mm-hmm.
And listeners to this programme who like the sound of what you're doing are able to support you. And I should, in the interest of transparency, anyone who looks at the page will see I've supported you already, which is appreciation not required. But I think in terms of radio transparency, listeners need to know that I'm supporting you both as well, but only in a very modest way. And you've already generated support from many people, but there is a GoFundMe page where people can get involved, find out more about what you're doing and about the entire programme in terms of Gaza Sky Geeks, and get involved, support you and help to make this happen. But as you say, it's happening anyway, but you have to self-fund. Now, do you want to give out the address? Have you got it in front of you? I've got it in front of me if need be.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
It's gofundme.com/Gaza-Sky-Geeks.
Fantastic. And listeners, businesses, individuals can get involved and back you, and just modest support will help immeasurably.
It adds up, yeah.
Okay, we're going to give that link out again in a moment or two, but let's just return to a couple of other things that we've been talking about earlier on in the conversation. Laura, you talked about the enormous role that highly skilled volunteers can and do make. And you also talked about how in international development, it's not a sort of one-way process. And we've seen that as well domestically in the UK. I've been at a number of events recently trying to connect businesses with charities and leaders of businesses with charities, and we made the and social enterprises, and we made the point that the fastest growing social enterprises are growing faster and are creating more jobs than the fastest growing companies in the Sunday Times Fast Track 100. The fastest growing social enterprises listed in the NatWest SE 100 index, the high growth ones are creating more jobs and growing faster. And business leaders can often be quite surprised about that. But it demonstrates that businesses that think they're doing absolutely everything perfectly can learn an awful lot from charities and from social enterprises. Same applies in the international community and in international development. Now, if your organisation depends on volunteers, you have a great deal of experience in that, Laura. Advice for people in terms of helping to ensure that those volunteers are valued, their contribution is valued, they're able to maintain motivation, and they are supported by organisations that they work with. What advice could you give?
Advice for charities who've got volunteer programmes? And well, I mean, it's key to put in place the systems and processes that will support those volunteers. So the organisation that I was running in Peru, when I started, it was very much a bootstrapped organisation, and we accepted anyone. If they could just give us $500, we're like, yeah, come along, doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, what you do. And we had incredibly high rates of dissatisfied volunteers. The money just sort of fell into a bottomless pit. You know, we had no way of tracking the actual impact. So one of the first things I did was sort of scrap that programme and actually look at the costs of running a volunteer programme and really split it out. So it became more expensive, but it was very transparent. I think we asked for $300 that would contribute to admin fees and operational costs, because, you know, how are you supposed to run an office and, you know, maybe pay your staff a small living wage for the country you're living in if you don't have those costs that are factored in? And then a very transparent donation that was for the programme that volunteers would be working on. And we had, you know, I mean, it's all about the orientation as well, and just making sure that volunteers are welcomed and looked after and taken around, introduced to people, given really specific tasks and you know, roles to fulfil, not on a sort of, you know, very basic level. But we had, it was a fair trade weaving cooperative programme, and we had international designers who'd come, and it's like, great, okay. But you can't just design a product. You also need to figure out how to do the quality control, how to make sure that this, what you're doing, will be able to outlive you as a volunteer coming for 3 to 6 months. So it was, it takes a lot of work. And I think, but that in itself means that when people are then contributing their time and money to volunteer, they already feel very, you know, grateful for the opportunity, but also like they're actually contributing something useful.
You know, far more highly engaged.
Yeah, very, yeah, very much engaged. And they can see the impact they're having as well. And they can see that, you know, I did that, you know. And I think we'll get the same sense after just 6 days. It's such a small amount of time, but 6 days working with startup teams, I think we'll be able to turn around and say, wow, I can see, you know, that suggestion I made on day one, someone's implemented that on day three. That's incredible, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. So it's going to be interesting being on that side of the table instead of managing volunteers and running the volunteer programme to being a volunteer myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Great, but some excellent advice there in terms of systems and processes, but also what you did when you were running the social enterprise in Peru, a brave step to dissemble a programme that was running and
make it more expensive.
Make it more expensive, but more effective, yeah, and more impactful.
Definitely.
Critically. Yeah, great. And turning back to Elizabeth then, so we've talked about how you've maintained contact with people who you mentored on this programme last year, and social media, of course, and other means of communication means you stay in touch. But it is a bootstrap programme. It's intensive. It's over 6 days. Keeping the momentum going then after you return home and other volunteers return home, you stay in contact with people. But any other tips or advice in terms of how you managed to keep momentum going last year and how you do so again this time?
There are a few different ways. Gaza Sky Geeks does have an opportunity for people to become remote mentors, and you can look on their website and find out how to do that. So they do keep their startup teams, their young entrepreneurs, in touch with people from around the world with different areas of expertise long after mentors have gone away who have been able to physically turn up. So they are very good at being very well connected. And just as Laura was saying, the infrastructure and the support that Gaza Sky Geeks gives to mentors, both present and remote, is extraordinary in extraordinary circumstances. And it does make all the difference. It's also true that people feel very passionate about the program and so are willing to work with Gaza Sky Geeks to the best of their ability in order to contribute, because it is such a remarkable place. And so I think that just being able to reach out across the border, despite lack of electricity and all sorts of restrictions, makes all the difference to their success.
Excellent. And of course, people can go to the actual Gaza Sky Geeks website to find out more then about becoming a remote mentor and about the program itself. And that's GazaSkyGeeks.com. So absolutely fascinating. I wish you a successful, superb, safe and an enjoyable trip, and a hugely rewarding trip as well. And perhaps we can give listeners the address where they can find out more about your initiative and fund you if they'd like to do so. Elizabeth, Laura, do you want to give the address out again?
Yeah, go on then. It's gofundme.com/Gaza-sky-geeks.
Superb. And you should be off on at the start of September.
End of August for me.
Yeah. End of August, start of September, in 6 days. Have a fantastic trip. Elizabeth, Laura, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. In today's programme, we've heard from Elizabeth Chassere and Laura Bennett talking about Gaza Sky Geeks. We've also heard from Richard Osborne talking about his business From the Workshop. Now, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed all that, don't panic, because you can catch up with today's programme on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. Simply go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, find Business Live, and you'll find the podcast of today's programme. Of course, you can also find a wealth of exciting music and much, much more. So whatever you're into, go and have a look, discover something new. Now, a quick reminder that it's the deadline to enter the Sheffield Business Awards coming up quite soon. It's the 12th of September will be the deadline to get your entry in. You might think you've got plenty of time, but actually, of course, you need to get your evidence together and write a compelling application that really talks about why you deserve to win. And it's worth entering the awards. They take place in December, but the deadline to enter, 12th of September. Find out more at sheffieldbusinessawards.org.uk. Also, if you're running a community business, then it's worth going to the Power to Change website and taking a look at the Community Business Fund, which is currently open for applications. If you go to thepowertochange.org.uk, then you can find out much more about what is community business and the funding that they have available from Power to Change and application criteria. So find out more there. Now, it's always worth remembering that you can get in touch with this programme by email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, or send me a text, 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter, @SheffieldLive. Find me on Twitter as well. Because whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. Get in touch. Tell us what you think we should be covering on the show. If there's a topic of interest or someone you think we should interview, even if that's you, then do just drop us a line and you might end up on the radio. That's how Richard Osborne did it. He contacted the programme. He's ended up in the show this morning talking about his business From the Workshop. So send us a note, and if we can interview, if we think your story is fascinating and interesting, then you'll end up in our studio above the showroom in central Sheffield. So this programme is on air every Friday, 9 a.m. through to 10. We'll be back next week, but don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live, it's our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. So stay tuned to that all the way through from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. In the studio with me today has been Sangeeta, a sound engineer. Thanks very much to Sangeeta. Thanks to all our guests today, Laura, Elizabeth and Richard. And thank you for listening. We're going to play out with a track of music by Leonard Cohen. It's Dance Me to the End of Love.